Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. I wonder what Jesus was feeling at that point as he stood up in his home synagogue to read the scriptures. I know from personal experience about going back to churches where people knew me before I was ordained, before there was a collar on my neck, how nervous I was standing in front of the people, and especially family, who knew me in a completely different way from that as being a parish priest. I wonder if that is how Jesus felt. Did he think the eyes of Nazareth were on him and thinking, that's Jesus, that's the carpenter? I wonder what expressions he saw on all the faces of those people that day. Was it one of acceptance, understanding, confusion perhaps, and certainly disbelief, anger perhaps in some cases, or even indifference or boredom? I'm not saying he's ever going to have the same experience that I had, that once when I was preaching, the organist in that church sat right in front of me there, did the crossword by starting preaching. So, Richard, I don't want to do the crossword without that. Any sign of boredom would have quickly been set aside when they heard, if they really heard, what Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. This isn't simply about Jesus getting up to read the assigned passage for the day. This isn't like one of us looking up at the rota and the lectionary and thinking, oh, it's my turn to read the Old Testament reading today. According to Luke, Jesus finds the place, finds the passages that he wants to read, where the verses are on the scroll. He intentionally chooses them. There was no accident. Jesus is clearly up to something. Or perhaps, far more accurately, something is up in him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. The same Spirit that descended upon him at his baptism, that filled and led him in the wilderness, and with which he returned to Galilee. Something is stirring within him. Something which he cannot now avoid. Jesus is naming what God is concerned about in the world. He's describing the work and the direction that his life will take. He is taking a stand, a very public stand, for the poor and the dispossessed. We may argue about translation and literal meanings and meanings read into the words, but Jesus is saying publicly that he is for all those who feel on the outside. This is good news for them, but it is also good news for everybody if people find love in their hearts for all people. How did the people react to this? How would we have felt if we had been there that day? How would I have reacted to the good news that Jesus had to offer? More importantly than any of those questions, how do I react to it now? How far will I go for this gospel I claim to love and follow? What am I willing to do? And what am I not willing to do? Those are choices that we make every day. I make choices as your parish priest, as a husband, as a parent, son, and as plain old John to some, with all the particular needs and wants and failings of my particular life. Because here's what I see in the world and read in the life of Jesus. Sometimes, perhaps more often than not, the gospel asks us to make a choice, to make a difference. Where do we struggle and where are we doing okay? It's about taking a position and not just asserting a position. That's the challenge Jesus set before the people in the synagogue that day. These included good news to the poor, release to the captives, sight to the blind, freedom for the oppressed. That's Jesus' path. It's a way of living and relating to others. What do you think? Are you and I willing to do this? How far down that path are we willing to go together? That is what I am currently praying about and talking to people about and reflecting on. As a church, we need to be outward looking and forward looking. It is my plan that in the early summer, we will have a form of vision day together where we will explore the good things that we are doing, what has happened in the past, and there, where we want to go into the future. How we can proclaim and live the good news here in Wirral. You have given Shona and myself a wonderful welcome here, and we are very grateful to you all. People ask me, when I go back to Wales or talk to people, how are you settling in there? And I say, God is good to us, because he's brought us to a place where the people are so lovely and warm. And I mean that. I truly mean that. But we need all people out there in the world, to know that. We know, for them to know, how wonderful this place is and how wonderful a community we can be to welcome all people for being the people that they are here to our church, because God loves everyone. We've been asked by the diocese to take part in the Church of England course, Living in Love and Faith. I'm trying to get a plan together as to how we will present this course, which is about respecting the past, the Bible, traditions, and where we all fit into that for the church to be a safe and inclusive place now in 2022 and on into the future. This is not something for us to get worried about. The Anglican Church has always been a church that has reviewed issues. For example, the stance on marriage during my lifetime has, quite rightly, changed beyond all recognition from where it used to be 50 years ago, and now respects people in their needs and their lives now. Jesus says we are to set the oppressed free. Who are the oppressed nowadays, both here and around the world? Another thing I want us to address as a church is becoming a fair trade church, and also an eco-church, to trade fairly with the world and to recognise the consequences of climate change for communities. We are called to be custodians of God's creation and are called on to look after it and care for it. As a church, we need to do this in action as well as in speech and to pray for it. There is a temptation to think that these things, fair trade, climate change, are such enormous things, and we sometimes feel incapacitated, thinking there is nothing we can do. But I believe in doing the small things. I believe in doing what we can. I believe that Jesus, when he told us to love our neighbour as ourselves, was saying the most radical, most simple statement that there is, that if we just looked after the one next to us, and then he went on and goes on and goes on, but the world would be transformed forever. Through working together as an inclusive, loving church for all, we can make a difference and be good news for everyone. Jesus taught with parables. I'm going to share a fable with you now by Kurt Kaufer, and it's published actually in the Methodist Resources booklet, and it's about how small actions can make a difference. It reads, "Tell me the weight of a snowflake," a robin asked a dove. "Nothing more than nothing," was the answer. "In that case, I must tell you a marvellous story," the robin said. "I sat on the branch of a fir, close to its trunk, when it began to snow. Not heavily, not in a raging blizzard, no, just like in a dream, without a sound and without any violence. Since I did not have anything better to do, I counted the snowflakes settling on the twigs and needles of my branch. Their number was exactly 3,741,952. When the 3,741,953rd dropped on the branch, nothing, more than nothing, as you say, the branch broke off." Having said that, the robin flew away. The dove, who since Noah's time considered himself an authority on the matter, thought about the story for a while, and finally said to herself, "Perhaps there is only one person's voice lacking for change to come to the world." Luke's Gospel. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to let the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Beginning of this year, let us set ourselves a challenge together. Let us work together to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour, both near and far, and to make a difference. Amen.